12 on page 748. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. This scripture is set next Friday, Saturday, the Sabbath, just before the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which Jem's going to talk about next week. Everybody needs somewhere to rest, particularly people in ministry. On this occasion, it was for Jesus, it was in the home of Simon the leper. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were there. Bethany's 2 miles east of Jerusalem, on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. Now Jesus knew he was on the way to the cross. He knew he was to face Calvary. And here we find him coming to the home of friends to find a few brief hours of encouragement and respite from ministry. Because he knew that the majority of people were going to abandon him. When we look at this piece of scripture, we need to remember to honor Jesus in our homes. Notice how welcome Jesus is in the home of Simon the leper. It was a place where he could literally let his hair down and relax. No doubt Jesus at times grew weary and looked forward to these times of peace. And here was a home where he was the honored guest. And a question each one of us should ask is, how welcome is Jesus in my home? There are many homes where Jesus wouldn't be at all comfortable. What are we watching on TV, on the internet? What attitudes are displayed? What sort of language do we use at home? As followers of Jesus Christ, we should strive to have our homes where Jesus is always the unseen guest. To live the kind of lives in private that we want to portray in public. So honoring Jesus in our homes means making him the Lord or master of our home. It means that if Jesus were to come to your home tomorrow, there is no drawer, no cupboard, no wardrobe, no space that you wouldn't let him look at and look in. There's nothing hidden. Honoring Jesus in your home, husbands, means treat your wife with the love and respect she's due. She's a gift from God to you, and as your sister in the Lord, as one in whom the Spirit of God dwells. You honor Jesus in your home when you love her like you should. Honoring Jesus in your home, wives, means loving your husband. As Scripture teaches, it doesn't mean being a doormat. It means being a partner, allowing him to be the spiritual leader and following his lead. It means showing respect. And for children, it means obeying your parents, doing what they say without argument, giving them the respect they deserve. So Jesus was the welcome guest, and he shall be honored in our homes as well. But if you're going to honor Jesus in your home, you've got to honor him in your heart. And that's the second thing from the text. Notice verses 2 and 3. Here we find three people mentioned: Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. It's interesting to note that each of these followers had a different passion, a different disposition, how they chose to honor Jesus. The first one mentioned is Martha. The scripture says that they made him supper and Martha served. Service is a way of honoring Jesus. And if you look in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, which is on verse 723, keep your finger in where you were. Go back to Luke 10. Page 723. You see there in verses 38 to 42 that Martha opened her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that was to be made. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to help me. Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Sometimes we get bogged down in the service. We need to recognize who we're serving. Martha was a worried housekeeper. Since Jesus was the guest of honor, she wanted everything spotless. In our house, if we're getting visitors, there tends to be a big wumble up. Just to make sure everything's spot on for people coming. And I don't sit down. I get drawn into it as well. Because that was her gift to Jesus. It was a valid expression of our love. It was her love language, if you like. Then we look at Lazarus. It says he was reclining at the table. A lazy lump. No, he wasn't. In the chapter before, Jesus had raised him from the dead. What would you be doing? You'd be sitting there and you'd be lapping up every single word that Jesus said, which is what Lazarus was doing, reclining at the table. You know, the table is only about this high, and they sat on cushions, leant on cushions. He wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible so he could pick up everything that he was saying, to be encouraged by him, to ask questions and to listen. And there's nothing wrong with simply enjoying the presence of God. One of the songs says, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's what Lazarus was doing. He's being still and getting to know who God was. Now, look back at verse 3, where we find Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Instead of serving food, instead of simply enjoying conversation, she's moved with love for the Savior, and she wanted to demonstrate her devotion in a very dramatic way. Mary and Lazarus had loved Jesus, and for them their response was perfectly normal. But Scripture says that Mary took a pound of nard, spikenard, which is a very expensive perfume taken from a plant that grows in India. And she anointed his feet and wiped them with her hair. And the odor of the ointment filled the whole house. Notice a couple of things. She touched his feet. That's a slave's job. You don't touch the feet of anybody. The slave does that. Notice that she used this very, very expensive perfume and click, click, wasted it, which is what Judas said. She poured it on his feet. And she also let down her hair. She obviously had long hair, which in those days was a no-no. Women kept their hair up. She let it down and wiped his feet with her hair. How much do you love Jesus? Many people claim to follow Jesus, but have never come to know him to a degree where they're willing to give their very best of their lives. And that's the best of everything. Time, talents, money, energy. Mary not only gave her best, but she was willing to humble herself in order to be honored. In order to honor Jesus. It's impossible to honor God and to maintain a sense of importance. Like John the Baptist, who said, I must decrease that he must increase. It was the same with Mary. She gave up her pride. You can imagine what the people in the room thought. This one, does he know she... When we come to know Jesus as he really is, it will humble us. When we know him, coming into his presence will be an awesome thing. And worshipping him, ascribing the glory and honor that he's due, will not be something we do as a matter of routine. The better we know him, the more personal, the more intimate, and the more humbling our worship experience becomes. Which is why we sing song after song after song, to try and bring us into God's presence so that he can actually talk to us, because he wants to talk to us. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus that you were led to tears? I have once, I think, when I accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Have you ever felt like Isaiah when the Lord came and he said, woe to me, for I am undone? And that's where Mary was. The very presence of Jesus afforded her an opportunity to worship that was intensely personal and powerful. And it's interesting that many in the room didn't get it. Particularly Judas Iscariot. Verse 4. He accused Mary of wasting this precious ointment, which he claimed was worth a year's wages. Of course, he wasn't concerned about the poor. But when you feel led to worship God from your heart, it doesn't matter about the cost. And that's the important thing. You see, worship is for an audience of one. It's for Jesus. When we love Jesus like Mary did, it doesn't matter what other people say. All that matters is that we demonstrate our love for Jesus. Many of us worry about what people think. There are a lot of churches around the world who have altered their worship services so as not to offend. That's ridiculous. Worship is not for the lost because they don't know the one we worship. Worship is the song of the redeemed, sung to the Redeemer. It's the praise of the saints to the one who sacrificed his life for us. That's what I love about Mary. She didn't give two hoots what people thought of her. Not two hoots. She was just there to worship Jesus. And she didn't let anyone get in the way. There's one other thing to notice, that the odor of this ointment permeated the whole atmosphere of the room. When we are in love with Jesus, that aroma of love, of reverence, of fellowship, bleeds out into the room, into the community. So we must honor Jesus from our hearts. But we also must honor Jesus when the opportunity is at hand. Notice verses 7 and 8. Jesus corrects Judas, telling him that the poor would be with them always, but that they wouldn't always have him. He's telling us that we shall honor him, we shall worship him and adore him whenever the opportunity presents itself. Mary didn't put Jesus down on her diary or on her timer. She didn't have a scheduled some time to be with him in an otherwise busy day. She did it when the opportunity presented itself. She was ready and eager at a moment's notice, and it's the same for us. Jim and I went to, well, we call it youth group, but it's actually a full gospel businessman last Thursday. And there's a young guy there who's a dairy farmer who's just moved on to a new farm. And he's having a real struggle. He's a believer, knows Jesus. And in the course of the evening, I said to him, picture the scene. Mid-October, 9 o'clock in the morning, you go in the paddock, there's 15 cows down with bloat, what do you do? You know what he said? I'd probably let out a string of swear words. But isn't that our natural reaction? He said he might have prayed afterwards, but that the initial reaction would have been. He acknowledged that he made a mistake, it was the wrong thing to do. But we're all the same. None of us could say we haven't been in a situation, any situation where we've reacted rather than brought God into it. So God wants our love to be spontaneous. He wants us to be passionate. There are a good many things about formalized worship. But sometimes private worship is the best. It comes from deep in the heart. Many people have misunderstood what Jesus said about the always having the poor. They thought it was a cruel, insensitive remark. But if you study the ministry of Jesus, you'll find that the poor and the dispossessed were the people that he spent most time with. He had no earthly possessions, no animals, no livestock, no retirement plan, no bank account, no earthly possessions to speak of. He had a robe on his body which they drew lots for when he was crucified. But he had compassion for the poor. He saw them as sheep needing a shepherd. He wasn't insensitive to the poor. He was merely stating reality. Knowing the hearts of men as he did, and understanding the greed of humanity, he knew that there'd always be those who are poor. What he was saying, that we must honor him and serve him whenever we have the opportunity. The truth is, there are lots of opportunities for spiritual service. Honoring Jesus through our lives. But we shouldn't procrastinate and put off to tomorrow what we can do today, because the times are getting shorter. So does Jesus get glory and honor in your life? Is he honored in your home? Would he feel comfortable at your dinner table? Would he feel at home with what you watch, read, or listen to? Do you honor him from your heart? It's easy to put on a show, but is your worship heartfelt? Are you preoccupied with this idea that Jesus must be exalted through every facet of life? Are you looking for ways in your everyday experience to bring honor and glory to Jesus? Let me make four suggestions. Make him the unseen guest at all times. You read up there? Christ is the head of the hall, the silent listener to every conversation. So when we sit down at lunch, breakfast, dinner, or tea, Jesus is there. Some folks leave an empty chair at the table as a reminder that Jesus is with them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, make a practice of meditating on him and his word. The more you meditate on Jesus and his word, the more you will recognize his presence with you. Thirdly, make a practice of talking to others about him. And that's probably where we all fall down. Make a practice of talking about Jesus. Where do you go on a Sunday morning? Oh, well, So where do you go on a Sunday morning? I go to church. Do you? Why? Because Jesus loves me, he's forgiven my sins. Why don't you come along? They haven't got two heads. They're quite normal people, actually. Make a practice of talking to others. And fourthly, ask God to open your spiritual eyes to see the opportunities where Jesus can be honored in your everyday experience. God surrounds us all the time. If you meet somebody in the supermarket and you say to them, "How are you?" and they say, "Oh, I don't feel very good." What do? "Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, I felt like that last week. And I know somebody else who felt like that now." Pray for them. "What? In the supermarket?" "Yes." "With my eyes shut?" "No." "Heavenly Father, just pray for Ethel. She's crooked, Lord. I just pray your healing upon her in Jesus' name." You pray for them. That's what we're to do. It's not hard. We don't have to stand there, shut our eyes, look at a book. Just pray from the heart. Okay? I pray that you meet someone this week with whom you can share Jesus. Heavenly Father, help us to to be like Mary, to be unashamed of you, to be unashamed of talking about you. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be brave and to have the courage to speak up about you and to invite people to come to church. What they do here and how they receive here, what they receive here is really up to you. But we have responsibility to spread the word, and that's one way we can do that. So help us, Lord, to come to that place like Lazarus where we want to just lounge and listen to Jesus. And help us, Lord, not to get too much like Martha, so busy with stuff and getting ready that we miss out. So I do pray, Lord, that for each one of us, that you place somebody across our path this week, Lord, that we can share Jesus with, we can pray with, or encourage, or whatever, Lord, you know, and you can bring this to pass. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Get out. Okay,